turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, for the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about the ways and woes of life. And of course, Psalm 1 gives us the ways and woes of life. And we've been talking about, most of the time, about the ways of the successful believer. We talked about at least two things that he will do to be successful, or what not do. Well, one of those that he will be separated from the world. And we talked about the fact that he will not walk according to the world, and he will not sit down with them, and he will not walk by them or sit down with them. Then we talked about the fact that not only is he separated from the world, but I left out a point last week, and we had to slip it in there because it didn't fit right. But anyway, we did talk about the fact that the successful believer will be one who is saturated with the Word. That is, he has the Word of God, and he takes it, and he lives it, and he's saturated with it. He takes pleasure in it. He ponders the promises of it, and he studies it perpetually, day and night. And there's the one we left out. And we talked about it, and though I mentioned it last week, we didn't go into detail into it. Thirdly, consider how he is to be situated by the waters. And he shall, what is that? He'll be situated by the water. Look at verse 3, it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." Now you'll notice the fact that he is planted by the waters. You ought to underline that and mark out in your Bible, he's not in the water. This means we have a choice. It means we have a choice of whether we want our roots to be in the water or go toward the water or not. Our purpose is not to be a tree where we are. Our purpose is to be a tree where we're planted, but it takes power to fulfill. And that power is found only in the river of life, the water of the Word. So point your roots to the water. Amen? Why? Well, it's the reasons. First of all, it will help you to be fruitful and produce. Notice what he said there in verse 3. He said, "That bringeth forth fruit in his season." When a tree is healthy, drinking water, and firmly planted, it not only grows, but it's going to bear fruit. Fruit takes time to develop, which means that we should be patient with ourselves, and not only that, but we should be patient with others. We're all different kinds of trees, and we're all different kinds of fruit, and we bear different kinds of fruit. In fact, the fruit that we have is sometimes God gives us. When we get saved, he gives us gifts. And some people have different gifts, and some people don't. And some people don't even know that they do have a gift, but all at once they'll recognize that they do have a gift. And boy, that's a learned situation sometimes in life. And when you get to reading God's Word and you begin to study God's Word, then for some reason or other, the Holy Spirit just takes the Word of God and he works it through your life, and you know what your gift is. Some people have a gift of teaching and exhortation. Others have the gift of mercy. Some have the gift of giving. And some have the gift of administration. There's one thing I know, and you know this, after 20 years of having me pastor the church, I don't have the gift of administration. I don't have it. Some people do. They can put things together and make it work in a minute. But boy, as far as I'm concerned, that's out. That's out. And so, but but I try to do the best you can because God has given me another gift, and that gift is gift of teaching, and not only that, but the gift of exhortation, to exhort people. And so people get their roots deep into the Word of God. They begin to recognize that they got a gift, and as a result, they use that gift for what? They use it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then some people say, well, is witnessing a gift? Is soul winning a gift? No, soul winning is not a gift. Did you know that soul winning is a command? It says to go. And a command always supersedes a gift. Some people could say, I could say, well, hey, I have the gift of teaching as exhortation, and I don't have the gift of soul winning. So they use that as an excuse not to be a witness for Christ. There is absolutely nowhere in the Word of God does anybody have an excuse for not being a witness for Christ. It's not there. It's just not there. And we can all be witnesses for the Lord Jesus. And that's why I challenge every one of us. Let's get in on the command. God told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it starts with us. Well, you say, well, that's for the missionary. It didn't say go missionaries. It said go. And that's the understood you is in front of it. You go. You tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why some people will tell you, well, the fruit of the Spirit is not that. But the fruits of the Spirit is the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. You say, well, what is it? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is what identifies you. The fruit of the Spirit is reproducing other people who are saved. For instance, most everybody can identify a peach tree, can't you? Peach tree, you say, well, what does a peach tree look like? Number one, it doesn't grow real tall. Number two, it has small leaves. It has a blossom, right? And sometimes in peach trees, they're shaped like this. That's how they prune peach trees, to where they'll bear like that. And we used to do that down when I was in agriculture in high school. We'd go and prune fruit trees and prune a peach tree, make it look well. And some of those between the branches and the trunk of the tree, sometimes there'd be an opening there, and there'd be a sap that run out that looks like a jelly. And so those are identifying characteristics of a fruit tree. But what does a peach tree bear? What is the fruits of a peach tree? It's what? Peaches. What is the fruit of a Christian? Fruits of a Christian? More Christians. You follow me? So please keep that in mind. Some people get that so mixed up. And boy, when I first discovered that, it really made a change in my own life about how I ought to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ, and ought to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and bear fruit. And so the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. That's how you identify a Christian, by his love, by his joy, by his long-suffering, by his gentleness, by his goodness, by his faith, by his meekness, by his temperance. And he tells, these are several characteristics that make up of what a Christian is like, but he bears fruit, which is another Christian. Secondly, he not only is by the rivers of water so he can be fruitful and produce, but secondly, in order that he may be able to flourish and perform or perpetuate. And it says, and his leaf also shall not wither. In other words, we are to be in a state of flourishing and perpetuation, causing our lives to be consistent in our Christian living. A tree with good roots can withstand bad conditions. It can endure during times of drought, and that's why a Christian ought to be able to say, "Hey, I am prepared for what's coming." Some things don't. A Christian should not be surprised when he is persecuted. A Christian should not be surprised that discouragement and despondency will be upon him because there'll be attacks of the devil. Because when tough times comes, we are do what? Our roots are pointed toward the water of the Word, and the water of the Word is filling us with joy and peace and happiness and goodness and faith. And as a result, we can go through tough times and we won't wither. You follow me? That's why I believe a lot of people just quit on the Lord. It's because they're not grounded deeply in God's Word. We can maintain freshness in our faith provided that we have roots that go down deep into God's Word. Amen? And then thirdly, we point our roots toward the water in order that we might experience favor and prosper. And notice what he says, "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You see, God wants his children to prosper. And he wants to give us a victorious life. And so if we abide in Christ, as Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, our lives will be filled with abundance. And we may not always see it right away, or sometimes we may never see it. But we must choose what we want our lives on earth to be about and use it for the generation to come. And we need to leave a Christian legacy for Christ, not just our name. There are a couple of habits that can be made easier for us when we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and keep our focus on Him. Now, how do you do that? How can we prosper? Well, I don't know whether I put it in notes. I don't think it is, but I put out a couple of things here. First of all, if you memorize 4 or 5 Bible verses that speak to you, and you ought to use those because they'll become something that will mean a lot to you. How many of you got a verse of Scripture that has meant a whole lot to you in your Christian life? Anybody? How many? How many of you got a verse of Scripture that you got? What is your verse, Miss Winnie?
"I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me."
All right. What's another one? Give me another one.
John 3:16.
Pardon?
John 3:16.
Give me another verse that you hold on to. Are y'all looking into God's Word at all? Let me ask you something. Are you? Think about this. Think about 2 Corinthians 5:17. You've heard me quote that many times. That's been a verse that's meant a lot to me in all my life. 2 Corinthians 5:21 has meant a whole lot to me in my life. Amen. Jeremiah 33:3 has meant a whole lot in my life. Psalm 1:1-3 has been a real blessing to my life. It sure has. And then not only that, but my life verse is Colossians 3:17. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto the Father by Him." And any of you got a verse that you really like? Brother Jay, give us to it.
"He that cometh to me, I want to know why I cast that."
Look like it. Hit it, boy. I'll tell you like that. Anybody else got a verse?
Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and
His righteousness,
and all these things
shall be added unto you." Anybody else got a verse? Come on. Come on, come on, give me a verse. If you don't know it, read it to me. All right, Brother Steele?
"That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Romans 10:9-10.
Yes. Love it, boy. I love it. Now, come on, Brother Jay, did you have one? Brother, give us one. Yeah, amen. Amen. I like that one. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I know that.
Anybody else got another verse? Anybody want to read one from the Bible? Just read it from the Bible. Find a verse, read it from the Bible. What does it mean to you? Miss Sharon?
Romans 8:18. "For with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Don't you like that? Just put me down for that one. The sufferings of this present world are nothing to be compared to the glories that shall be revealed in him when Christ comes back. Amen. Somebody else, name your verse. Buddy?
Romans 8, 28. All things work for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. Anybody else? Oh, it's going good. We'll have a revival here on verses of Scripture.
Blessed is the man who preserves under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him.
Wonderful. Love it. Anybody else got one? Come on, let's go.
I am with you always, even to the end of the world.
Yes.
What time I'm afraid, I'm trusting
you. Right.
Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, word or deed, do it heartily unto the Lord, not unto man.
I love it. Keep going here, folks. I like it. Somebody else got one?
Deuteronomy 29:29.
The secret things belong to the Lord that made heaven and earth. Yes, sir. Anybody else got one? You want to repeat another one? I love it. And one that's meant a whole lot to me is 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 through verse 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. What tremendous. And then, of course, I like 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse from all unrighteousness. I know I'll have to use that a whole lot. I sure do. So get some good verses of Scripture and memorize them. And you say, well, how in the world do you memorize them? Well, when I was in seminary, we had systematic theology. And I was dead on arrival in that one. I want to tell you, that was just the hardest course I've ever taken in my whole life. And the teacher would give us an assignment. And it had to do with some of the doctrines that we were studying. And so he wanted us to memorize 50 verses of Scripture. And he'd have pop quizzes when we get to class. That meant, y'all know what a pop quiz is? Well, take out a piece of paper and write down 3 verses of Scripture that we memorized and that you were to memorize this week. My, oh my, what a challenge. I went to him after he gave the assignment, I went to him and I said, I can't memorize. He said, can I write a paper? And he said, Mr. Lilly, we have no alternative here. There is no substitution. You either memorize the verses or you flunk the course. Yeah, I got busy then. And you can take a passage like this verse here. And when you get to the point of like the 3 verses in Psalm 1:3, you can personalize those verses of Scripture. Like every day of my life, I personalize Romans 12:1-2. How many of you know what that says? Yeah, what? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To me, that's one of the most challenging portions of Scripture for the Christian in the entire Word of God. And so every day when I just set, first thing when I wake up is that I sit beside my bed and I pray that prayer and personalize it. And say, Father, today I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto you, which is my reasonable service. Lord, please help me not to be conformed to this world, but help me to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, did you know that is a perfect prayer? Because it's the Word of God. And then here it is in Psalm 1. You can personalize it and say, Lord, help me not to walk by or stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but help me, Lord, be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever I do, Father, will prosper if I do that. So keep me close to you. Help me then to be separated from the world. Help me to be saturated with the Word. And help me be situated by the water. So get you three or four verses of Scripture that you can claim and just hold on to it. And as you pray through a passage, then you can personalize your needs or your concerns to the Lord when you pray. Secondly, regularly, if you will, ponder these passages or other scriptures, thinking what they mean. What do they mean? What does it mean to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly? What does it mean not to stand in the way of sinners? What does it really mean to sit down with a scornful? What does that really mean? Is that just a verse we memorize so we can brag about it? Or is that a verse that I want to make a part of my life, then use it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to find out how I can eternalize that into my own spirit and then apply it to my life and then be able to share it with others. Amen? Now, the most important part of life is what others can't see. If you want to have a lot of fruit, then you must have a good root. The root is on the inside. If our lives are right on the inside and our thoughts are right on the inside, it will naturally and spiritually begin to express itself in our lives. Amen? And then I want you to notice, secondly, note the woes of the saddened unbeliever. Verse 4 makes a startling contrast. It says the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now, it took three verses to describe the secret of the blessed life, and here it only takes only two words to describe the life of the wicked. And underline it in your Bible. Not so and ungodly. What follows is a reverse. The righteous, and the word ungodly is the Hebrew word means, and it's pronounced roshah. Roshah, and it means without due respect, failing to honor what is sacred, especially in the outward sense. Early the psalmist described the godly as a tree. Now he describes the ungodly as chaff. Note the contrast. First of all, trees have life, while chaff is dead. Secondly, trees have value, while chaff is worthless. Thirdly, trees withstand the elements, while chaff blows away. The ungodly are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Now, what is he talking about here? Well, As a kid growing up in the country, we raised a lot of peas. My dad had purple hulls. He had old field peas, we called them, the ones that we had to gather for the cows and put it in a barn and feed that to the cows in the wintertime. We had not only that, but we had crowders. We had, oh boy, those crowders. And then then my dad found an old Texas Purple Hull. And that thing was 18 inches long sometimes. I mean, you can just strip them. And I shelled peas many, many times. And sat out under a pecan tree with my other six siblings. And we'd shell peas. And my mother would get us going because she'd say, I want to see which one of you can fill a bowl the fastest. And us boys, we'd like to challenge. And so she'd put us to work shelling peas. But in the fall, sometimes we wouldn't get all the peas out of the field, and there'd be some left, and there'd be lots of them. My dad would then take those peas, and we would try to shell them and break them up, and we called them pea hulls, and there would be the seeds. And then my dad would get a day when it'd be blowing real well, and he'd take dip one out of there, and he'd hold it up like that, and the wind would blow the pea hulls away, and the seeds would fall into the bucket. And that's what he was talking about. And that here it's called winnowing. We just called thrashing peas. And that's and so what happens is that the seed falls in there and the chaff blows away. That's a picture of the unsaved, the ungodly. And they said, and the ungodly are like the chaff with the wind blows away. And so the psalmist had in mind here the practice of winnowing a grain which is tossed up in the air. The shaft is blown away and the grain falls to the threshing floor and is gathered up. And shaft pictures the light and useless character of the ungodly. And God will deal with them according to the next verse, because in verse 5, look what it says. Therefore, because they're like shaft that the wind drives away, they shall be not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And boy, when I got down to this verse of scripture, we're doing this Sunday. Now, what is he talking about here? Well, I began to try to find out exactly through interpreters. But most interpreters for this first part of this passage believes that it means they will not endure God's judgment in the end. The contrast has already begun here, but the psalmist calls can see God separating the chaff from the wheat. And the last part of this verse, many indicate that sinners will not endure God's judgment, so they will ultimately not be found in the congregation of the righteous. And God is in the process of separating between the righteous and the unrighteous, and will one day completely judge all the ungodly and remove them from the righteous. Now, is that a general judgment? No. As you study God's word, there's going to be a different type of judgment. What is the next judgment that the Christian is going to face? Well, the rapture takes place, and if it takes place tonight, we'll go right into the presence of the Lord Jesus, and we will stand before what is called the judgment seat of Christ. We will be judged according to what we've done as Christians. We won't be judged before we were Christians, because that's been taken care of by the blood of Christ. Now, this doesn't determine whether I go to heaven or not. This determines how much, what all the crowns that I'll receive. And there's five according to the Bible of what, and people can receive one or five, but we'll receive crowns and or lose crowns in heaven. And then we'll be dressed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll be dressed in the righteousness of the saints. And that'll be that imparted righteousness that you and I experience as we serve the Lord every day. And then 1,007 years later, there'll be what is called the Great White Throne Judgment, when all of the unsaved are brought before the judgment of God. It's called the Great White Throne. They'll not be judged of whether they're going to heaven or not, because they've already been in hell. They're going to be judged according to the degree of the lake of fire that they'll get because of how much light that they have received and how much light they turned away from. I believe the judgment of the unsaved in the United States of America will be greater than any other country that has ever lived on the face of the earth. Because I believe with all of my heart that more light has been preached in America than anywhere else in any other country in the entire world. I read a lot of prayer letters from, in fact, I just got through today from reading probably 35 or 40 prayer letters, and I have the responsibility of finding a prayer request and putting it on the internet for the mission organization, BIMI. And it is, I wonder how it is so hard to witness to the Russian people. There's a family by the name of Young that are serving in a city in what they call Samara in eastern Russia, that's close to Krasnoyarsk, Russia, where I went one time. And they're serving there, and because he graduated from a college out in California and was a football player, and God called him to be a missionary, he's teaching and witnessing through football and teaching some of those Russian men how to play football. And then he talks about how he will spend 2 hours with a person trying to tell them about sin, judgment, and how Christ came and died on the cross for their sin. And he said they will sit there and listen and listen and listen and will agree and then say, I'll just have to think about it. And he said it takes time and patience and time and patience to lead just one person to understand the gospel. I think the country of Estonia, where the Willoughbys that we support, is like that. They just don't believe they have any need for God. And it's hard to get the light to them. But here in America, the light's shining real bright and everybody has their own religion. Amen? Oh, they got it. They got it. Well, I don't have to go to church, but I believe God. I believe Jesus Christ. But they've never had a personal relationship with Christ. A lot of them. They go to church. Some go to church. Never trust him. Now, the conclusion, the whole matter in this church is this, of this passage here in verse 6. And boy, I run out of time. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It's here that we see two kinds of people and two possible destinations. Every person is either in the way or he's in the woe. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof is a ways of death. Are you a tree or are you a chaff? It's hard to tell the difference sometimes in people. It's hard to. In fact, Jesus described it as wheat and tares in a parable. He said they look alike and they grow alike. And if you ever see tares, you ever studied that, wheat and tares look alike, it grows alike, and it you can't hardly tell it apart. But when harvest time comes, you sure can tell it apart. There's a whole lot of difference in it. And it's an interesting thing, too. Here's the thing about tares. If you were to eat the fruit of a tare, it would cause you to throw up. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. And that's what the Lord said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Why? Because you're a tare. You won't make it. So you need to be a wheat. And that's why Matthew chapter 3, verse 12 says this, whose fan, that fan is a winnowing fork, is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the flour and gather in his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff in unquenchable fire. Are you ready to be planted or transplanted? An old Chinese proverb says, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. And the second best time to plant a tree is today. And so it's never too late for anybody to start really, really bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 92, verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Would you consider to be me be old age? In just about a week and a half, 86 years old, old man. Oh man, and I sure don't want to be sitting around doing nothing. I want to be a witness for Christ and life all the way to the end. And even when they put me in the casket, I want my wife to have to brace my hand up like this and have a gospel tract in my hand where everybody pass by, they'll reach and get a gospel tract and she can stick one right back, got back into my hand where I can tell everybody about Jesus, because I want to go out here telling folks about Jesus. Amen. And then here's the conclusion of all. Here's what we Christians ought to do. Number one, stop flirting with sin. It says in Psalm 26:4, I will not sit with vain persons, neither will I do it with dissemblers. And that's old King James. I said, man, what does that word dissemblers mean? Well, a Hebrew word for that means hypocrites, or one who causes others to go astray. I'm not going to sit around those people. And then secondly, he starts flourishing spiritually. Start out directing your roots toward the water of the Word of God and say, hey, I can still memorize some verses of Scripture. You can say it over and over again, over and over again, over and over again. You can say it over. How do you memorize? You know how I memorize them? Well, I was forced to, but I had to memorize. You know how I did it? Saying it over and over and over and over and over again. That's why everybody in the audience right here can quote John 3:16, because you quoted it over and over again. Why don't you quote John 3:17? Anybody can quote that? That's verse 17 said, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so we can know that we're saved, and we can know we're going to heaven by the precious word of God. Amen. Well, got through. Got to preaching. Enjoyed every minute of it. You folks that joined us through the internet, we appreciate you coming. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you again. Amen.